When these dwellers are shown the way, and they learn that it is through unselfish service and through kindness and goodwill to all that they can earn their salvation, they are sent on their way rejoicing, and surprising to themselves are the fruits of their labor. They look in astonishment upon the fruition of kindly acts and loving thoughts and wonder why they had never known or thought of God's laws before. The gratitude such beings manifest after they have progressed out of the darkness, as they are constantly witnessing the results of their efforts to do good, is unspeakable. They are absolutely untiring in their efforts to uplift some being who is still struggling in the darkness. No mortal being has a conception of the power of divine love and how unselfishly this power is showered upon those in the lower zones by the angels and messengers from the higher heavenly zones, who understand God's laws and how tenderly and lovingly they show the way, teaching them how to uplift themselves, that they may climb the ladder of life and behold the glories and grandeur of God's handiwork. Every effort is made to awaken these unfortunate souls. At regular intervals in this zone may be heard the roaring sound of a trumpet sent forth by the angels of light, bidding these souls wake up. Arise, and see the light. Come forth out of your dungeons and seek peace for your weary soul. The light of their soul being dormant, they are asleep, entranced by their own deeds. Many of these beings have contracted into dwarfs, their features reveal their brutal deeds. If you did not understand the law and know their conditions, you would not imagine that these beings ever functioned in a physical form with erect features. Such is the effect of our thoughts, acts and deeds upon our soul. Many of them look as if they belong in the animal kingdom, and have never had a human form. The saddest of all is the fact that here are found women who once functioned in a womanly form, but now are seen as they are, in garments tattered and torn. And these too must awaken and sometime become cleansed and purified and walk in the path with angels. Ages may pass by ere some of these beings will reach the top round in the ladder of life, but they must and will eventually reach it. Time modifies, then cures all our mistakes and our sufferings, and when these souls are weary of suffering they cry out for help and light. Then and only then can they be assisted. Such a cry always reaches some beneficent soul who with angel wings appears before their vision and bids them rise and follow. 18. This zone is 40,000 miles wide and is densely timbered like a wilderness in some parts. In other directions towards the north there are sandy deserts with scrubby shrubbery here and there. Wild cactus, mullein plants and other plants are found here. Cypress and other trees are seen in abundance along the southern part of this zone, while in the central portion it is barren, rocky, damp and musty. The rocks in the caves are covered with moss and gelatinous substances. Here you find insects, fleas, buzzards, skunks, rats, bears, elephants, tigers and other animals throughout this zone. In the ocean are various marine plants, ferns and fishes. The water is cold and clammy. Instead of this purgatory being a hot place, it is a damp, cold, musty place. As they do not receive the direct rays of the sun, many times these beings bathe in these waters, thinking they can find relief for their tortured soul. Their haunts are the deeds that confront their vision no matter where they go. There are no flowers in this belt. Many growths of various kinds are found in the mountains around the streams. The angels who descend to these vibrations must be heavily robed to protect themselves from this atmosphere, which is repellent to their souls. There are but very few huts, as these dwellers lie down flat on the ground behind bushes or sit in these damp caves on some rock, hiding themselves. Some of these dwellers have been here for hundreds of years, while others remain from 10 to 50 years. However, time is not an element of consideration here in the world of soul. Many of them have no conception of how long they have lingered here. There is a ruling angel for this zone. He is considered in the world of soul as a most powerful beneficent soul. To be able to rule the unruly and establish and maintain peace among the lawless, savage, brutal animal beings, requires by far more wisdom and power than the finite mind is capable of comprehending. To maintain harmony and peace among such beings, who would on the slightest provocation, war with each other, In fact, with the disturbing tendencies and bitter elements in their being, they would be continually in an uproar as a natural result, if it were not for the pervading power of this ruling star, who is considered among the greatest of the great and who is assisted by many millions of beneficent angels who are constantly guarding and guiding these darkened souls who, regardless of their dormant state, feel a power which they do not understand. It is this power which they feel over them that causes these dwellers to tremble in fear and terror, and they are constantly looking for something to happen, which never happens. Whenever any of these dwellers scheme among themselves to accomplish certain devilish work, just then, like a thunderbolt, this power is presented to them in some manner, to teach them that there is a power greater and higher than themselves that is watching over them. There are many various ways through which this power makes itself known, and oft-times they will momentarily light up this dark zone through the appearance and the illumination of millions of divine souls at once. The majority have learned that this light is not caused by an electrical display, as they distinctly see the faces and forms of these angels. Many times it becomes the conversation of these dwellers and they wonder how they can reach these souls and put an end to them. There are those who through this manifestation become awake and get on their knees and cry to them for help. Many are the tales that could be told. But suffice it to say, all such must serve their time until they are ready to become obedient to divine law and undo the wrongs by doing good, overcome the evil tendencies through the power of divine love. If such did not suffer, they could not realize the suffering they have caused others. If they do not taste the bitter, they can never appreciate the sweet. If they did not know what struggles and conflicts and sorrows meant, they could not appreciate the joys and blessings. 19. The dwarfed, dark condition of these beings, is the extreme opposite of the angelic state and the darkness, barrenness and the lower forms, as the outburst of this zone are the extreme opposite of the heavenly, divine kingdoms of our Father's house. When these dwellers have become sufficiently cleansed and purified and have created within themselves the desire to serve God and be obedient to His laws, then they are led to a fountain of pure water that gushes forth to great heights, which is concealed from their view, until they are ready for its beneficent, refreshing sprays. There is a path through a dense forest that leads from the darkness of the first zone to the twilight of the second zone. There are many streams and springs and small bodies of water in this forest. As we enter this forest, the darkness gradually evolves into the twilight, and near the entrance of the second zone, in a most conducive portion on top of a mountain is found this gushing fountain. Here is where they get their shower bath, standing under its vibrant sprays, causing the outer dark stained garment to slough off, and behold, they see themselves for the first time in many, many years, standing there in a perfect human form as man or woman, and beneficent angels, who have woven suitable raiment for them, clothe them in attire similar to those worn on this mortal plane, and now they are ready to pass into the second zone, leaving behind the dark stained vibrations or substance of their past acts and deeds, ready to create a new and brighter garment to function through as they proceed on their journey of progression through the soul world. When the light ahead first glimmers in their consciousness, these beings cry out for joy and oft-times sing familiar hymns that mother used to sing in their childhood. The strong mother love bursts forth and she is the one, after these beings have become awakened, whom they usually think of first. Their faith in the beneficent angel, who so tenderly and kindly led the way, showering their being with divine love, is like that of a child for a parent. They cling to his very garment and long to be in his presence. They long for his love and are most obedient to all his teachings. They bow with great reverence in the spirit of love to these wonderful masters of wisdom who are the teachers in these zones. And these are the angels who guided these souls to this expression of life and watched over them as they were the actors in the great drama of this physical life, and now they are carefully guiding the way back to the angelic state. During this terrible crisis, through which this world has just passed, only a few out of the millions of souls cast into the world of soul, were taken to this dark zone. Beneficent angel, who came from afar to shed thy rays which transmute the scar, that the weary traveller may see the light that will quicken his soul into delight as he beholds the glorious, radiant sky which reveals a power of greater might than all that earth with goods could bestow upon any mortal who dwells here below. Beneficent angel, to thee we bow in reverence with love and sacred vow that ne'er again my footsteps shall trod. 20. The lower rungs of earth's great plot that binds the soul in fetters and chains and leaves the marks of stain and pain, that thou no longer shall try in vain to lift my soul through clouds and stain. Beneficent angel who came from afar to lead the way that I might follow to the path that points to yonder star where dwell the angels and hosts sublime in joy and peace and love divine, to thee I bow for thy kindly patience, for thy knowledge and wisdom imparted to my soul in its hours of darkness. 21. The second zone, the domestic belt in the ethereal world. 150,000 miles from this earth realm. Thou holy, holy God, thou who art the divine essence in all there is, awaken us out of our dreams and delusions, dogmas and beliefs that obstruct our vision from thee, and help us to weave into the warp and woof of our lives the golden threads of love for all humanity, that we may be lifted out of the fogs of materiality into spiritual light and truth, into a realization of thy wisdom and behold thy divine plan expressed throughout the universe. Perhaps the most astonishing truth that confronts the soul after leaving the physical body, is the fact that he finds himself in a natural world, and as he progresses in his present environments he learns that this natural world leads to God's heavenly kingdoms and then to his celestial and divine kingdoms, and that God's heavenly kingdoms and his celestial kingdoms are all natural regardless of their heavenly holy divine states. The many advantages and opportunities found in this world of soul over those which confronted us in the physical world is another most astounding revelation. Here we find ourselves free from all imitations of man-made laws and man's conceptions of God's laws. Those conceptions of the various individualized and centralized organizations which have been forced upon man throughout the ages, with all their errors and delusions. Being free from the cumbersome physical body through which we functioned, our vision is somewhat clearer and broader. All things present themselves in their various aspects, as we now behold things in a different light. In our present state, we realize the difference between beliefs and facts, between man's conception of God's plan and God's will and the reality as it now impinges itself upon our consciousness. With these facts before us, the awakened soul naturally questions why all these various structures for worship which grace the different portions of this zone, as we wander through the various cities and villages of this country, our attention is naturally attracted to these churches, many of them appearing familiar. In fact, there is not a religious organization that will not find their thoughts manifested here in this zone. In the world of soul, our thoughts become objectified or manifest. Through our thinking we are daily creating the substance out of which is fashioned a home, our conditions, our environments in the world of soul as well as in this material world. Another one of the most astounding facts that confronts us when we have entered the world of soul is that the things which seem so vital and important to us on this earth are of no consequence whatever in the ethereal world, and that the most important and most essential facts have been entirely neglected, all due to our training and system of education. As our journey through this earth in the physical body is of such a short duration and the life in the ethereal world exceeds it by many years, it is very important that we should be educated in our childhood about our being and the purpose of this expression of life. It is very essential that we are taught that there is a soul life as well as a physical expression of life. As God in His divine wisdom prepared such a beautiful suitable world for the physical expression of life, He could not make a mistake and forget to prepare a suitable world for the habitation of the man's finer body, a world that so far excels this physical world that no finite mind could adequately reveal its sublime glorious beauty. It is very essential that we know, 22, that all that is, was and ever will be has come from the one infinite source, the fountain of all life, all light, all wisdom, all love. One of the most essential branches of knowledge concerning our being is the law of vibration. Children should be given colored balls representing the colors of the solar beam as reflected in the prism and taught their color, rate of vibration and chemical value. Mortals should learn to realize and recognize the fact that there are vibrations above and below the range or octave of vibration to which we are attuned and to which our physical senses respond on this material realm. We should know that there are many octaves below and above the limitations of the physical senses and that we can so cleanse, so refine and purify ourselves that we may be receptive to the higher vibrations. We should be taught another essential fact, that we have soul senses as well as physical senses and that the same natural law of evolution which evolved our five senses will evolve the sixth and seventh senses which enables us to see beyond the limitations of our present physical senses and perceive that which exists behind the screen, that which is facts, that which is real, that which is natural, because the sixth and seventh senses respond to higher rates of vibrations. Many today on the earth are cultivating a positive attitude of mind, thinking that positivity, as they call it, shuts out all evil influences. This erroneous idea is based on a misconception of God's law. Also called evil is within our own mind. If we cease to think evil, refuse to do evil, we cannot attract the evil. All knowledge, all wisdom, all power in a finite degree lies within the soul. As we unfold higher degrees of consciousness, through divine love for all humanity, keeping our thoughts pure and clean, doing unto others as we would have them do unto us, there can be no evil come near you. The light of your soul will radiate such a tremendous power that it will transmute and uplift all evil, which is ignorance and darkness, into that which is good. Let us remember the law of attraction and repulsion plays its part throughout the universe and the power of attraction lies within your own soul and you set God's laws in motion through your thinking. As you are the dynamo in which are generated the thoughts that you send forth on the ether waves, attracting like quality, you are also the magnet which attracts them back, and they return freighted with like quality, attracting to you individuals and conditions from both worlds. The world of soul and those in the physical body. Positivity shuts out the light of the soul and the light that radiates from that divine infinite center we call God. Positivity in the material realm means strength, power, and those who practice being positive create vibrations and attract the lower vibrations that tend towards brutality, obstinacy, determination and egotism, which enters into the warp and woof of your life and forms a garment of this substance which is so dense that it imprisons the light of the soul and it shuts out all light that flows from God's divine and celestial kingdoms, which is heavily laden with knowledge and wisdom. As the soul evolves it becomes more porous and is like a sponge that drinks in the water. The soul absorbs the divine light which rechemicalizes the physical organism, making it a fit temple for higher vibrations, higher degrees of consciousness, therefore practice receptivity instead of positivity. In this zone we find the manifestations of all nature kissed by the rays of the same sun whose glowing brilliant light has been felt and witnessed throughout our journey on the earth, except that at no time do we receive the full light of our day as on the earth realm. Here it is always twilight and this is indicative of the light of the soul of the individuals who gravitate to this zone. The souls who enter here may be designated in seven distinct classes or gradations of soul unfoldment, or seven states of mind and conditions. 23. Among a certain class, we find those who believe that when they make the change called death, they will go to heaven and find God. They have no conception of God's laws or the purpose of life. They have never known anything of the construction of the universe. They have no conception of other worlds than our Earth or our solar system or other systems, and these are very much disappointed in not finding the golden streets and God sitting on a throne to embrace them for their diligence in obeying the rules of the Church. Some of these think they have had visions of God and heaven, not realizing they have created these visions in their own minds. These are individuals who cling so tenaciously to their beliefs and follow the same routine, never for a moment questioning the whys and wherefores of that which confronts them. Their greatest obstacle is obstinacy caused by their undeveloped mind. Their mind has been trained in only one channel to follow the dictations of certain religious organizations. Many of these remain here for years and years. When they do not find God, they think they are in waiting for Gabriel to blow his trumpet, then God will appear, and others think they are in purgatory and must pray themselves out of this world and be more diligent in their worship by attending their favorite church more diligently. These people do not wish to be disturbed with any other ideas, in fact would not listen to anything else, so many of them remain for years and years until they are ready to listen and desire to know, then they are taught God's laws. Among another class of dwellers in this zone are found many who have been considered great characters. They were very popular, were considered very progressive on this earth realm. Many of them had gained for themselves name and fame and high positions in the eyes of the earth world. Some in the social circles, some in political circles, others in religious organizations. Promulgators of new religious ideas, many who have been leaders in religion and scientific lines, so-called scientists, musicians and artists, who were so beloved and esteemed on the earth, but, during all their popularity and glory on this mortal realm, did not kindle the light of their soul, and they did not realize that the light of the mind or intellect is only a reflected light. Much of our mental development is very superficial and entwined with selfishness and egotism. When these souls enter here and see themselves as they really are, not as they appeared and yet appear in the eyes of the world, but see themselves in garments which their delusions and egotistical ideas have woven around them, sad indeed is the intense disappointment of these individuals. With the foregoing before us, we must admit that it is not who you are or who you have been that counts in God's kingdom, but what you have thought and said and done, that is you, and that is what counts. It is that which you must face when you leave the physical body to function in the ethereal world, the world of the soul. Among another class we find those who have never given a thought to the purpose of their existence in this material world. They are simply existing from day to day, gratifying their physical sensations and physical desires, trying to fulfill the duties of their daily requirements with no thought whatever of a life beyond this expression. The light of their soul is so dormant that they are not conscious of anything beyond the petty things of everyday occurrences, which do not tend towards the development of the mind or the evolution of the divine attributes of the soul. They have feasted at the fountain of selfishness, criticism, bigotry and lust and commercialism, and find themselves enmeshed in a garment that is not attractive in the world of soul. Such individuals are like a fish out of water. They find it very difficult to become adjusted in their new environments and new conditions. Among another class who egotistically believe in one world at a time. Why bother? Why make any effort to know why we are functioning in this material world? We know we are, and that is enough, so they thought. Let us concentrate for success and prosperity and surround ourselves with all of this world's goods, have plenty of all we want and be happy in there. 24. Enjoyment of that which we have accomplished while we are here. If I can create for myself happiness and success on this earth, in this physical form, why be concerned about the soul and the world in which we must function after we leave this physical body? So long as I can satisfy the desires of my mind right now? Such have not realized that all this seeking for material possession is contrary to the teachings of Christ, the great master, who said, "Seek ye first the kingdom of heaven, and then all else will be added." So in their efforts for success and prosperity on this material plane, the soul was becoming enmeshed with all these material vibrations of greed, selfishness, and while seeking for all these material possessions, the light of the soul remained dormant, and when these individuals come face to face with their delusions and behold the garment of their soul, those who hover near look upon them with great sympathy and pity. Among another class may be found those who lived in luxury here on this earth, who always had all they desired of this world's goods, who had every advantage that this material earth could offer, money, lands, raiment, jewelry and all commodities and luxuries, everything that is considered desirable in the physical world. Among these are rulers, merchants, financiers, retired businessmen and women who have enjoyed the wealth of great estates. But with all their advantages, the most important and the most essential of all in this world was neglected, the soul, the sacred soul. Their minds were so attracted to material possessions that they felt that these were of most importance. Pitiful is the sight to behold when these souls enter here and find themselves surrounded by barren conditions suited to the condition of the soul. Among another class of dwellers in this zone, are found those who are of a mechanical and inventive turn of mind and who did not complete their work or fulfill their desires along such lines. These are found here in great numbers working out various problems along mechanical and electrical devices, working out problems for aeroplanes, wireless, in fact many implements, tools, devices of various kinds are being considered and worked out here for the benefit of man, who is still functioning on the physical realm of life as these will become a great necessity with the future generations, when the minds will have turned into higher channels, greater ideals. Then machinery will do most of the labor that man is doing now, while man will devote certain portions of each day to developing the mind and unfolding the divine attributes of the soul. All who pass out in accidents, quakes, fires, water, wars, many whose physical existence has been cut off ere the time for their transition, pass to this zone and here they find opportunities and advantages that will enable them to continue life, beginning where they left off on the earth. Here they are placed according to their condition and ability after they have become adjusted to their new environments and new conditions. Many of these souls find it difficult to overcome the desires created during their earth life and the sudden separation from those who were so dear to them, while others adjust themselves very rapidly and soon grasp the opportunity of progressing into higher conditions and find much satisfaction and gratification in their new activities. The majority of soldiers and individuals who were forced out of their physical bodies during this terrible crisis through which the world has passed have been placed in the second zone. Some few were eligible for the third zone. Those whose souls were shattered into a mass of pulp were carefully and tenderly gathered by beneficent angels and placed here in this zone, where they will sleep until the soul will recuperate its powers into activity. Then when they awaken, they will be placed and continue their activity in their new environments. They will not be conscious of what has happened until they have fully recuperated. Some will be able to recall the incident on awakening, others may not for years, until they enter into the vibration that will arouse the fact in their consciousness. 25. Parents and loved ones should rejoice in the fact that there is no death and that their boys will continue life in this zone and prepare themselves to progress to higher and higher states of activity which will enable them to send forth vibrations that will be helpful to those who are left here in the physical realm. Here they will be classified according to their soul's growth, as many of these lads are very wide awake and had not yet enmeshed themselves in dense cloudy vibrations of the earth realm. Their thoughts and activity, having been directed towards building a foundation for their earthly activities, hence such will progress very rapidly into the third zone, where they will start their march of soul progression and waiting for the time when those who are so dear to them on the earth realm will make the transition called death and will join them in the soul world. The ties of love can never be severed, but continue through eternity. It is divine love that bridges the chasm between the two worlds. It is divine love that causes the thoughts of the parents and loved ones to reach out towards those who have gone on ahead to journey in the ethereal world, and it is divine love that causes those in the ethereal world FB reach back to those still functioning in their physical body. Then how could there be anything but interaction between the two worlds? Only those who have not real love in their hearts could doubt this truth. There are various kinds of love manifested on the earth realm. But divine love, which is the very essence of the soul, that is the power of attraction, that is the cord that binds which no man can sever, no man can destroy, and all our theories, cults, beliefs and teachings can never wipe out the fact of the interaction of the two worlds and the benefits derived from the interaction through the sacred holy souls who descend from God's divine kingdom to this earth realm. And when we war against these facts, we war against God and ourselves. Now let us go back to the churches, all of which means so much to the different classes of dwellers here in this zone. Here the churches are serving a purpose just as they did and do on the earth. Many of these theories and beliefs have served as a stepping stone towards realities. through the various experiences encountered in such environments, the pure, clean soul became awakened, absorbing from its environments that which was necessary for its growth. When the soul becomes sufficiently awakened, it uses its own faculties and reasons from cause to effect. Such a soul can no longer be content with theories and beliefs because it gets glimpses of that which is beyond this realm, so naturally it drifts into higher channels.